My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Another big story of the weekend, you know what it is. It is the Guardians in Minnesota, 4-game set. They've got a doubleheader today. Joey Cantillo will throw, and then Alex Cobb. He'll make his debut as a member of the Cleveland Guardians tonight, and a lot of folks are banking on him to have a good start and to have a good stretch to the season, although he's been injured, so we'll see. You know, fingers are crossed, right? That's probably the best way to put it. Fingers crossed that he's healthy and is able to throw.
Want to see him. Former Tampa Bay Ray.
Speaking of the Rays, we have their color analyst on the line right now. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we are joined by super friend of the show, Brian Anderson. Hey, BA, my friend, how are you?
You know what? I'm good. This is go back to work day. I've been off for 8 or 9 days. So, time to go back and figure out what to do with my hands and how to enunciate properly. So
do you have to ramp up? So you're only good for about 100 pitches. Then they got to bring in another color analyst, huh?
No. Unfortunately, and I mean, I'm sure that people down here would attest. I'm good for a lot more than that.
Okay, I think
that people want me to tap the brakes at times, because I, especially coming off of a hiatus, I'll have a lot to say.
What do you do on a hiatus during the season?
He just stores up words. That's what he does.
I store up words, but guess what? Guess where I was in last weekend?
In Cleveland.
SummerSlam.
Wow. How was it?
Oh, bro. It was awesome. And I mean, it was going to be a quick trip no matter what. But we stayed downtown at that Hotel Indigo. And they had the SummerSlam kickoff. It was literally in the parking lot about 100 feet from the entrance to the hotel. You could see the people starting to gather from our room. It was incredible. And of course, you know, Cleveland is playing Baltimore at baseball. Sabathia is getting his number retired. You know, you've got Friday Night SmackDown was literally across the street from where we stayed, and then SummerSlam Saturday night. It was, downtown was an absolute zoo. And so, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And SummerSlam itself was, it was awesome. Blew the kids' mind. You know, it's funny, when we went to that SummerSlam kickoff, I didn't know what that was going to be all about. And all of a sudden they bring out, you know, Michael Cole, the announcer, he brings out Pat McAfee, and then they start bringing out the wrestlers, and they're kind of hyping their match and, you know, getting a little Q&A. And, you know, because of the nature of what I've done, you know, been able to play in the big leagues for an awful long time, and now I'm fortunate enough to be able to do, you know, TV work, and you get to meet a lot of people, and you get to come across some really cool things. I don't get starstruck. I really don't get starstruck. But I'm going to tell you something. When they were coming out, I found myself getting like, oh, this is really cool. Like, this is really cool. Like, I had no idea what to expect. And I found myself a little starstruck. And my kids, my good Lord Almighty, their little heads were exploding. I mean, Harper's like, Dad, I got to see Seth Rollins and Rhea Ripley in real life. In real life. And I'm going to get to see him on Saturday, too. I mean, they were beside themselves. It was an absolute blast couple days.
You ever realize that kids think of you that way?
No, I don't. I shouldn't say that. As you get some perspective and you get a little bit older and you have lived it, and you hope that you were wise enough when you lived it to give these people what they're looking for. And I think that overall, I think a lot of guys do that. I mean, there are times where you're focused on your job or maybe you're going through a tough stretch and it's not always a lot of fun, but you try to be as accommodating as you can. But as you get perspective and you move beyond that, you realize, yeah, that it is a big deal. You watch kids meet somebody who may not even necessarily be a marquee player, but the excitement as they're done getting the autograph and the turn and the look up at the parents, like, he just signed my ball. I was that close to him. And you watch that from afar and you're like, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. And you just hope that you were as accommodating as you thought you were back in the day, because it's not the same anymore. It's, you know, I was joking with somebody the other day. I don't get asked for autographs very often. I on the road occasionally, as I'm getting on the bus, someone will say, hey, BA, can you sign a couple cards for me? Great. But I was laughing with one of them this last road trip that I had gone on, this a couple weeks ago now. But I said, you know, there's a time where you are so excited to sign autographs. Like, somebody wants me to write my name on a card or a piece of paper. Like, you're so excited for it. Then you play long enough, there are times where it gets to be a little bit like, oh, again. You know what I mean? You still do it. Sure. You're accommodating all that. But then it goes away. And then all of a sudden, maybe if you stay in the game, like I've been fortunate to be able to do, it starts to pick back up again, you know, on some of these road trips, and you're that much excited again. Like, wait, you want my autograph? Sheesh, it's been a while since I've done one of these. It's the same thing with being carded. How excited were you to get carded when you were 21? Like, dude, I'm official. Boom. And then you get to that age where you're like, really? You want to see my ID? Oh, you kidding me? You know, and you go through that phase where you're annoyed. And then you get to that age where you're like, wait, you want to card me? Oh, okay. Wow, I'm way old. You know, here, card me. I mean, it's the same thing with the autographs and getting carded.
BA, would you believe the other day I was buying a bottle of wine, and Andy just—it was for my wife. I don't drink.
Well, no, that's not the point. I would think you're going to tell me you got carded.
I was buying a bottle of wine at a grocery store, and a gal was getting trained. And she asked me for my ID. I got carded. Yes. And I said, I said, really? So I was wearing a hat. Yes. I took off my hat. I said, does this count? She said, no, I need to see your ID, sir.
I said, okay, need to great. See it. Yeah. You don't know whether to high five her or hug her. Like, you're just,
I know.
Like, yes, I'm getting carded at this age. That's the greatest compliment in the world.
I always say thank you.
Exactly.
That's a thank you.
She was just following protocol. She knew I was over 21.
All right.
Yeah.
23, 24, you know.
I got to turn to baseball here.
What do we got?
All right. So here's the deal. So Guardians this weekend, they have a 4-game set against the Twins, right? They have 3.5 game lead on the Twins, 4 on the Royals. We're sitting here going, man, this is a 4-game series. We're going to see Alex Cobb tonight. We're really excited about it. But, you know, they've had this whole season. They're 20 games over 500. But yet it does feel like on the outside that things could be slipping away because they're on a 5-game losing streak. Is there a difference in the reality of being actually inside that clubhouse and for what we see as fans on the outside? You know what I'm saying? Like, if Guardians fans can be saying, oh, this whole thing's slipping away. Or they're going to be like, oh, well, this will be a great weekend. Like, what are they actually feeling inside a clubhouse when you know it's a big series? There's no way they don't.
No, right. And as much as they say that, hey, it's just another game. Yeah, it's a division opponent, blah, 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 blah. No, they know it's a big game. And they know it's a big series, and I think the attention to detail gets a little bit more focused. You know, I think that the game plans and stuff like that. Now, you don't want to end up putting yourself into a position where it becomes paralysis by analysis. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to go outside of what your norm is. But I think that there is just a little bit more hyper focus in series like this, where you know you've got a chance to bury might be too strong of a word, but you've got a chance to distance yourself. You've got a chance, to kind of cave, and you realize the importance of this weekend, because this weekend's going to be over quickly. I mean, the four games, it's going to be done, and you're going to be like, wow, what just happened? Are we still 3.5 up? Are we 4.5? You know, did they sweep and we're a half behind? I mean, there's a lot of different things that can happen, and because of that, guys get a little bit more locked in. I've seen it with the Rays, you know, when they come into a big series, you know, especially a weekend series with the Yankees or you know, with the Red Sox or, you know, Baltimore. Well, shoot, but that's who the Rays have. The Rays have Baltimore coming in. And so, you know, that's going to be a huge series. And tonight's going to be a huge game because Zach Eflin is pitching for Baltimore. You know, he's pitched the last 2 years. He's had 52 starts. 50 of them are with the Rays. And now tonight, in his third start with the Orioles, he's going to be starting against the Rays at Tropicana Field. So that's going to be a big game for him, for the Rays, and all that. So they definitely field in the clubhouse. You just don't want to go so far out of your comfort zone, doing things a little bit different. Stay in your routine. Stay with what's worked for you. But your mind better be right, and you better be sharp with your focus.
But what worked for them, B.A., we all thought, man, how is this working for them? Can they be confident in their process and everything that they've been doing? Or do you think that Stephen Vogt, maybe even the front office, players need to do any tinkering here? Or is that where the danger is?
I think that you don't want to do that, because I think, especially with a young team, it sends potential panic vibes. And that's the last thing that you want to do. Now, do some things have to change? And can you be matter of fact about that? Sure. But if there's a feeling that it's a complete overhaul, or if there is a feeling that those in charge, especially, you know, it's one thing if these moves, and I'm not even saying that they've made any, but if you make a series of moves and you do some tinkering and you are a manager with the cachet of Terry Francona, let's say, It doesn't feel panic. Guy's been there, done that. It could potentially feel panicky with the first-time manager, with a rookie manager. If there's some tinkering and there seems to be some over moves being made, then, yeah, you can send panic vibes because you're a rookie manager and it feels like, whoa, 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 why are we going crazy here and switching this all up? We had a rough little stretch. We had a rough little week. That's fine. You're going to have those during the course of the season. That's going to happen. You're going to have some really good weeks too, which they've had. So let's not, you know, completely go over the top here with any kind of moves. And especially again with, you know, a young coaching staff and a young team, because that could spiral. That could spiral if the wrong vibes get shot through that clubhouse.
BA, your thoughts on Alex Cobb getting the start tonight? And I can't imagine, you know, what's going through his mind. He's been so successful. I wonder what he's thinking tonight. You know, you worry about your hip, you worry about these blisters, you know, and you know, obviously the Guardians need him to come up big here down the stretch with being 20 games over 500, and just, you know, the playoff spot's theirs for the taking.
Yeah, no, listen, these starts can be nerve-wracking. I remember when I got traded from Cleveland to Kansas City. You know, Kansas City was the year that 2003 when they got off to that great start and they had thoughts of playoffs, and you know they get traded for me the third week, I think it was the third week of August, and I went out to Kansas City and Tony Pena called me in his office and he said, you're getting the ball every fifth day from here on out. I don't care if we get rained out 3 days in a row. Every fifth day the ball is yours. So here's your schedule. Go. You're pitching tonight. I mean, I was pitching that the night that I got there. And so I will tell you that I didn't know anybody on that team. And I remember when they threw the ball around the infield after my warm-ups, Joe Randa walked up and put the ball in my glove. He goes, hey, my name's Joe. We'll talk after the game. And walked back to his position. And so all that to say, the feeling is I can't be the guy that screws this up. I mean, so there's some pressure that comes with, you know, being a guy that everybody's looking to be a difference maker and to be a guy that puts you over the top. That's what these moves are all about. We make moves to get better and to put a team over the top. If you're one of those moves, then there is a certain amount of pressure that comes with that. So I'm sure that Alex will be feeling that. The great thing is he's a veteran. He's been there. He's done that. He's pitched in big games, and he's one of those guys. He's got the heart of a lion. I love this kid. Loved him when he was with Tampa Bay. I'm so excited to see how he does tonight. I'm so glad to see that he's still in the league. He is a battler, and yeah, you guys are going to love him. He's accountable. If he has a rough game, he's going to stand up there and say, you know what, I got to be better. I've got to be better. This isn't good enough. And if he has a good game, he's going to be humble and thank all of his teammates. That's just the type of guy he is, and he's a pretty good pitcher on top of all that. So, yeah, you got a good one there in Alex, provided, you know, if he's healthy, he's gonna do good things for them.
Hey, Brian, real quick, wasn't Mike Sweeney there too? I'd never heard a bad thing about that guy. Like, he was...
No.
Yeah.
No. All-timer teammate. I mean, the most positive, just an all-timer teammate. Encouraging, positive, really, really good player, but even better human and teammate. He was one of the best. I love that guy.
The way you describe Alex Cobb, this seems like an opportunity waiting for a guy with that kind of a personality, that kind of an approach to things, BA, because, man, this team needs somebody who can step up and throw 5, 6, 7 innings on a regular basis. You like the match between his personality and where this team is and what they need?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, his personality fits on any team, and it especially fits on a young team with an impressionable young players that are going to be, whether they realize it or not, looking to him and seeing how he goes about his business. You know, he's got a chance to make a lot of impact on this team, out on the mound and in that clubhouse. Not that he is I'm going to take the clubhouse over and look at me, I'm a leader. No. Just by example. You know what I mean? Just by example, the way that he's going to put the work in, you know, he's got a system. He's a veteran. He knows what works for him and what doesn't work so much. And so he will set a great example. And, you know, and hopefully for his sake and for, you know, and for Cleveland, you know, for the team's sake, he does the same thing out there on the mound, which he is more than capable of doing.
If you're watching a guy that, you know, was dealing with hip stuff, and you know, is coming out and making a start, what are you watching for to make sure that he's right, that he's healthy? If you were calling this game, like, you're keeping your eye on what to make sure that he's staying the course where they need him to.
Well, the first thing I'm going to look at is the rhythm and the smoothness, if you will, of his delivery. Does it look smooth? Does everything look smooth? Does it look rhythmic? And when that front foot hits the ground, what's the explosion like to the plate? How the quick twitch to the plate? How does it look? Does it look powerful or does it look labored? I mean, that's what I'd be looking for. So I'd be looking for how smooth is the delivery, what's the rhythm like in the delivery, and when his front foot hits the ground and those hips explode towards home plate, do they explode or do they meander? Do they move? Does it look labored? Those are the two things I would look for.
When you see young guys getting managerial gigs, Stephen Vogt here, Grady Sizemore, just gets a job in Chicago.
Were you surprised by that?
What goes through your mind?
Yes, I was. I was very surprised. But then again, I'm not. You're seeing it more and more. You're seeing young guys with zero experience getting manager's job. And I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, a lot of it is because they're not actually managing. I mean, they may be managing behind the scenes. They may be managing the players. They are basically the liaison between the front office and the analytics people and the players. They're the go-between. But you know, they have zero experience managing, and quite frankly, I mean, more and more the game is telling you, you don't need any, because we're running the game from upstairs. We're running the game from upstairs, and you're there to make the moves, to have the players' backs, to be able to take the information that we hand off and to be able to disseminate it to these guys in a manner in which it's going to benefit them, you know, understand who needs more information, who should actually have less, you know, all of those things, and build a, you know, a strong coaching staff that can, you know, can work with their positions, you know, whatever they, you know, they base running, infield guy, you know, whatever it may be. But you're seeing that more and more. So while it's surprising the way that the game is being run today, it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. But even so, yes, I was surprised that Grady got named interim manager. Well, I mean, listen, I hope the best for him, because just the little bit of time that you get to spend around him when he was with Tampa, and it wasn't very long, and knowing what he had done for Cleveland, you root for him and you want him to do well. But my good Lord, what a dumpster fire of an organization he's taking over right now. Jeez and Rice. I mean, these people. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing what they have done to that organization, that team, and in that city. You know, challenging the 62 Mets for the worst record in the history of baseball. At least the Mets had the excuse they were an expansion team. This is just an organization that has been run straight into the ground. I mean, right off the road into a ditch. So I don't know where they go from there, but you hope that he can give them some kind of spark and maybe they can win 3 out of their next 10. Who knows?
B.A., thank you. As always, have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week. You're the man. Thank you, B.A.
Thanks, Brian. All right, boys.
Brian Anderson right there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll talk about some of the things he had to say.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, Guardians getting set to play a doubleheader. Time now for our starting lineup.
Would you rather see Will Brennan in center field?
I wish there was a better option than throwing a guy out there who kind of, and this is going to come off poorly. You know how you take the super athletic guy and throw him in center field for your beer league softball team, and it's he'll catch fly balls, but it's always kind of an adventure watching him catch fly balls? That's Lane Thomas in center field.
Well, you're talking about the team that put Tyler Freeman in center, Daniel Schneeman in center, mm-hmm. Angel Martinez in center, all of whom were not outfielders. And now you've put an outfielder in center.
Yeah. Don't you feel a little better about that? I do. I know you want to, like, I've heard people like kind of ridicule the thought of Thomas playing center field. I thought it kind of made sense.
I mean, they brought Tyler Freeman did a great job out there defensively. I mean, I think it surprised everybody.
I'm sure you have some kind of stat that will destroy me, you know, some analytic thing. That
no, because you'll just start making raspberry noises at me, and then Jeff will rake raspberry noises and use some statistic that he likes that, you know, we used to do that. And then we'll just end up in the same place we always do, which is the three of us just looking at each other like, well, all of you think each other are stupid, so why bother? Okay, all well, I can fair. Tell you is that it's an adventure with him in center field.
Hey, are you going to catch Austin Hedges tonight then with Cobb? Does that make sense? Who are you catching tonight? You're not. I don't think Naylor's going to catch both games, do you? You normally don't do that.
I would think not.
Yeah. I wonder who catches tonight. Probably. With a veteran coming back to be able to I don't know if – would you put Fry back there or would you put Hedges? I'd probably put – I think Hedges would probably start.
I would
tonight.
Put I would. Austin Hedges back there and say, handle him, will you?
Yeah. I would do the same thing.
And then
you too.
It's a great way to bring Alex Cobb into this team and give him your best defensive catcher, your veteran, guy who knows the league, knows what he's doing back there, can't hit a lick, but that's why he's in the league, because he's a great defensive catcher.
Does that really seem to matter at all if you're in the Guardians lineup anyway, if you're hitting after, what, fifth, sixth, that you can't hit a lick anyway?
Oh, that was almost harsh.
Well, but that's what we've seen all season long. I'm just stating facts, Jeff.
What are you saying about 220 hitters, Andy?
I'm just saying there's
Come on,
a lot
man.
Of O for something when you look at the bottom of the lineup, especially when you watch Rocchio go up there. You're like, okay, he can play defense. He can play defense. Your thoughts on Cobb tonight, because after talking to Brian Anderson, I thought he painted a really good picture of what to watch for tonight to make sure that this guy that, you know, we're kind of pinning our hopes on. And I thought it was also interesting that Brian talked about the position he was in when he got traded from the then Indians to the Royals, because I remember that, and yeah, I almost felt like we were sitting there in the locker room or in the clubhouse with him when he got the news about exactly what he needed to do when he was in Kansas City. And I gotta believe that's the same scenario for Cobb, right? Because the Guardians need him, man. They need this guy, and I don't know if he feels the pressure or not, but there's pressure there. Sheehan talking about him being the number two starter by the end of the season.
You know why?
Because he should be.
Because take a look at the rest of the rotation. That's the scary part of this thing moving forward. It's not the offense to me as much, Andy, because we've seen this team do very, very well without much offense for a long period of time. And I don't mean this year. I mean years. Why? Because it was dominated by a great starting rotation and a good bullpen. And we don't have that good starting rotation right now. I mean, they are searching. Anybody who steps up and does a nice job is going to be in there. Cantillo can put himself in the rotation if he goes out and throws well tonight. Without question.
Sure can.
You're today, in, yeah. Pal. Go.
One of these guys is going to have to step up because there's going to be a spot available.
And the guy who does, Andy's going to get that job.
I'll buy it. When you talk about Cobb tonight, and I'm not talking about the first game, even though we know Cantillo is going to start the first game. I'm talking about Cobb in the late game. Like, what is a goal? What's a goal? As a fan, I think I'm looking at him to maybe go, man, if he goes five innings, 100 pitches, I'll be maybe a little bit surprised. But if he could go six and 100 pitches, that'd be awesome. I'm realistically thinking get to 85 pitches, knowing that, you know, he hasn't pitched all year and knowing where he's coming from, that if he looks smooth and everything's good, I don't care what inning it is, 85 pitches, probably see you later. Let's live to see another
day. I hope he can get through five innings. And I don't even want to look at pitch counts on this. I just get through five. If you can get through five and you throw 70 pitches, fine, take him out. You know, but you're not – I wouldn't think, Andy, you're going to throw him anything more than what you said, 85 pitches.
85 to 100. I think it just depends on where he at, what he looks like. And even if he looks good at 100, I still think you got to – you've got to ramp him up because, I know it's a big game. I know
ramp
it's a big
up,
weekend.
Baby.
But they need to be careful, especially if they want to be able to have him and make a run for the playoffs. So
ramp him up.
Alex Cobb gets the start tonight. We had a chance to talk about that for a little bit. When we come back, Jeff, I want to talk about USA basketball. That game that we saw yesterday, and there were a couple other Olympic headlines I want to get to, including a 16-year-old running this morning. That was pretty cool. 216-474-0092. Ew. We got a big guest coming up at 1 o'clock, don't we, Jeff? You excited? Who's more excited, you or Menigan?
Well, of course, it's Menigan.
Menigan, are you excited? Do you want to tell everyone who our guest is at 1 o'clock?
I mean, we've been teasing it all day, so I think you should know, at least at this point.
No, I don't think
it's the Hall of Famer, baby, Leroy Butler, okay, the creator of the Lambeau Leap. Let's go.
He's like a kid in a candy store, isn't he?
Stunning, isn't it?
All you do is say Packers. Wait, by the way, where's your loyalty tomorrow?
Call me when the score matters.
Oh,
his loyalty is getting out of his duties with the Browns Radio Network as quickly as possible.
Those are the words.
So play a quick game and get out.
Those are the words of Jeff Phelps and only Jeff Phelps. And while I agree with 100% of all the words that came out of his mouth and most of the thoughts.
Very disappointed in both of you.
I don't care. It's a preseason game. If you're worried about the score of a preseason game, you probably are gambling.
I didn't say anything about a score. I just said loyalty.
The hell does that mean?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
I mean, will you be cheering for the Packers throughout the game?
It's a preseason game.
It's a preseason game.
He's cheering for the trainers not to have to work very hard.
I am cheering for...
What it sounds to me is like you're just trying to get out of work and you are just cheering for the clock.
I am cheering for a healthy running game and health for both teams. Maybe kneel it a couple times. You know, it's good to go over that play.
Okay, I'll let you go. I'm going to let you slide. 216-474-0092. Jeff, did you watch any of the Olympic basketball game yesterday between the United States and Serbia?
I did not.
Ah. Do you have any thoughts on the United States making it to the gold medal game against France?
I'm glad they did. That's terrific. I hope they're able to win it. That would be wonderful. Hey. Serbia, to me, is a big, you know, big challenge.
It was. I thought it was, you know, they're up, what, 17? I'll be honest. I wasn't watching the game, and then somebody said to me, hey, Team USA is down 16 at the time. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to watch this fourth quarter. So I ended up watching the end. And then I found myself in a very, very unique position, a position I don't think I've ever been in before in my life. I'm rooting for guys that I don't root for. And I'm watching this team, and I'm, like, really excited that Steph Curry's on our team. I was rooting for him, openly rooting. I was like cheering, and I'm like, whoa, what's wrong here? Wait, what? And then I'm like, oh, man, Embiid's so good. All the things you know but don't want to admit during the regular season because you want the Cavs to push forward. And to watch those guys yesterday, I was impressed down the stretch. Now, I don't know if I'm watching this United States team, and I've watched them play a couple times. And it's almost like the same script sometimes where they're like, oh, all right, well, we'll take the other team not so seriously. Oh, wait a minute. We're down what? And then you read a headline this morning I thought that was really interesting that we talked about on the pre-show meeting.
It's not a headline. It's a tweet. You're going to love it.
Oh, I saw it as a headline.
Okay. Now, Anthony Davis, who, of course, is now with the Lakers and is on Team USA, and as one of those guys, I think Devin Booker might be another one, who is kind of taking the team approach. Whatever you need, I'll do. You need defense, great, whatever, I'm out there. He told our buddy Mark Spears after the game, you know, and Steph Curry was huge in this game. I mean, he came up with 36 points. That's tough to do in an Olympic game.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid, who's one of my favorite players in the league, was very good in this game. Anthony Davis was asked by Mark Spears apparently about, you know, what he thought about the game. And Anthony Davis said, got two words, Stephen Curry, Joel Embiid.
What?
Got two words, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid.
That's two words?
Apparently in Anthony Davis's mind it was.
Wow.
Got two words, Andy. Stephen Curry, Joel Embiid.
There was...
There's no hyphen. It's not... You can't call it one word.
Well, two
Come
words.
Come on, AD.
Each name was...
Be better than that, AD.
Each name is two words.
You got young people looking at you. Got two words.
I thought they played great. Did you see any of the game, Dan? I know you're not into it.
Nope, haven't watched a dribble. Now, part of that problem, I'm not going to lie, is I currently don't really have power at the palatial estate.
Just so you know,
do you care about this? basketball in the United States is not the dominant force that it once was. Period.
Does that bother me?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
No. I like it. I guess when I was younger and, you know, there was a 72 game against the Soviets where it seemed like it was fixed at the end of the game.
Doug Collins.
Yeah.
Way to go, Doug.
I think then I cared more, but, you know, I think once the Cold War kind of passed there and you saw some of these, you saw European players coming over to the States to play and, you know, you're not going to, or guys from South mm-hmm. America, you're not going to root for Zydrunas Ilgauskas. You're not going to root for Anderson Varejao. Of course I'm rooting for those guys.
Yeah, see, that's where I am too.
It's this.
Yeah. I appreciate people who are able to play the sport well.
Yeah.
For instance, baseball. You know, do I care where Jose Ramirez is from?
Do I care
that the Nailers are Canadian? I don't care.
I don't even think about it.
Exactly right.
I don't. No.
And I think that's the same. You know, I want Team USA to win the gold medal. I do.
I care that I'm rooting for Steph Curry going, oh, you know, that mouthpiece thing's kind of cute. Right?
I don't even know you anymore.
He was at the free throw line, and I'm like, you know, the mouthpiece thing doesn't bother me anymore now that he's on my team. And I think he can help us win. Strange how those things work out, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a different world. When, like you talked about this, you know, the 72. And
yeah.
And even before the Dream Team, it was a different kind of world. And even maybe shortly after that. But the international players, so many of them are so good and NBA caliber that they're going to give teams a game. And they've played together on a longer basis. So there's a little more, you know, cohesiveness with some of the foreign teams. And that's, you know, that's just terrific. It's a beautiful game. And the fact that it's now played at a higher level in many, many parts of the world, I think is a really good thing. And we're benefiting from that as NBA fans. We really are.
All right.
Some of the best players in the NBA are foreign-born guys.
I was reading a website out of the UK. I don't know if it's, and this headline's probably all over the place too. Bitter Serbia basketball captain Bogdan Bogdanovic makes bombshell claim that Team USA got help from referees in narrow Olympic semifinal win. Hey, Double B, I hate to tell you, your team choked in the end, and Team USA played great defense. They did not. Did you watch it? Did you see the game? God, man, nobody watched this game yesterday. Am I the only person in America that watched this and got excited? I'm the only person in this room that was watching it, that's for sure. I'm sitting here rooting on Team USA. I thought they played great defense, and they hit baskets. Like, the only bucket they missed at the end was LeBron throwing up an ill-advised three. And I was like, oh, LeBron, what are you doing? Why are you taking that shot early in the shot clock? Like, we just didn't need it. I know he was open, and maybe he's not used to being open. He's like, oh, I'm open. I'm going to take the shot. Hits the front of the rim, and the next thing you know, Serbia's got the ball, and they're bringing it back down the floor, and they're trying to make a play for it. The referees are not. You know, he said, Bogdanovic said, I'm not the type of guy who will talk about referees, you know, and I even wanted to win against referees too, you know, and respect for us keeping it calm the whole game and not talking to them. These referees are going to go be out there too, so we can't talk to them. They couldn't talk to the refs. What did they? The refs aren't going to change. It's, you can talk to them all you want until you're blue in the face. What's the difference?
Well, they might not speak your language. It might not work.
There was one play where it looked like they called on Serbia that he went over and back. And on TV, it looked like he went over and back. They called it, and he was. And I think they were trying to say that he didn't go over and back because he lost the dribble and it got tipped by, I can't remember who the American was that hit it, and sent it back. I thought they should have replayed it just to settle it to make sure it was 100% right. But the refs didn't even want to hear anything about it. They're like, play on. And then it sets up a good final because now you've got the home team, France, going up against the United States. I don't know. I see this as must-see TV. I expect us to win gold when we go there, but I also think that the level of play internationally, obviously, it's been so elevated since that first time we watched the Dream Team go out there and play. I don't know. I enjoyed it. There's a lot of things. I I've said this about 1,000 times, but I love the Olympics this year. You know, the women are playing again right now. They're beating Australia? 73-51. They're crushing them right now. So that's kind of fun, too. I don't know. What else are you into? You watch some track, didn't you?
I'm watching track like crazy. I'm enjoying the track and field a lot.
The one thing I haven't watched.
Some really impressive performances. Cindy McLaughlin is a phenomenal hurdler. You know, the thing it does crack me up a little bit. It's like, because of the athletes involved, you know, like think of Edwin Moses back in the day.
Yeah.
Cindy McLaughlin now. We care about the 400 meter hurdles. It's really?
Right.
That's an odd race, isn't it?
Well,
isn't that an odd race?
Well, when I'm blown away on the 400 hurdles is that when you watch, maybe it was her that I was watching, that their times in the 400 hurdles would qualify them for the finals in this flat 400, where you don't have to jump over anything to see some of these times. And then, you know, we were talking before about how exciting the 4x400 is. And, Dan, I thought you had a good take on the 4x400. Like, it's the end of every track meet if you've ever been to one. And if you're turned off by track and you're saying, why are these guys talking about track at the Olympics? I don't really care. I'm telling you, anyone who's ever been to a track meet and waited around all day and watched all the events and saw everything, when it comes time at the end and you're running in that 4x400, it is super exciting. It's great sports. It's just, I think it's what sports is all about. All right, let's come back. Leroy Butler, oh, man, look out. Menigan is so excited. I'm excited, too, because the Browns play the Packers tomorrow. So we'll talk to him next. Ooh, we got a big guest coming up at 1 o'clock, don't we, Jeff? You excited? Who's more excited, you or Menigan?
Well, of course, it's Menigan.
Menigan, are you excited? Do you want to tell everyone who our guest is at 1 o'clock?
I mean, we've been teasing it all day, so I think you should know, at least at this point.
No, I don't think
it's anyone. The Hall of Famer, baby, Leroy Butler, okay, the creator of the Lambeau Leap. Let's go.
He's like a kid in a candy store, isn't he?
Stunning, isn't it?
All you do is say Packers. Wait, by the way, where's your loyalty tomorrow?
Call me when the score matters.
Oh.
His loyalty is getting out of his duties with the Browns Radio Network as quickly as possible.
Those are the words.
So play a quick game and get out.
Those are the words of Jeff Phelps and only Jeff Phelps. And while I agree with 100% of all the words that came out of his mouth and most of the thoughts.
Very disappointed in both of you.
I don't care. It's a preseason game. If you're worried about the score of a preseason game, you probably are gambling.
I didn't say anything about a score. I just said loyalty.
The hell does that mean?
You know what I'm talking
about.
What
does that mean?
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
I mean, will you be cheering for the Packers throughout the game?
It's a preseason game. He's cheering for the trainers not to have to work very hard.
I am cheering for...
What it sounds to me is like you're just trying to get out of work and you are just cheering for the clock.
I am cheering for a healthy running game and health for both teams. Maybe kneel it a couple times. You know, it's good to go over that play.
Okay, I'll let you go. I'm going to let you slide. 216-474-0092. Jeff, did you watch any of the Olympic basketball game yesterday between the United States and Serbia?
I did not.
Ah. Do you have any thoughts on the United States making it to the gold medal game against France?
I'm glad they did. That's terrific. I hope they're able to win it. That would be wonderful. Hey. Serbia, to me, is a big, you know, big challenge.
It was. I thought it was, they're up, 17? I'll be honest. I wasn't watching the game, and then somebody said to me, hey, Team USA is down 16 at the time. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to watch this fourth quarter. So I ended up watching the end. And then I found myself in a very, very unique position, a position I don't think I've ever been in before in my life. I'm rooting for guys that I don't root for. And I'm watching this team, and I'm, like, really excited that Steph Curry's on our team. I was rooting for him, openly rooting. I was like cheering, and I'm like, whoa, what's wrong here? Wait, what? And then I'm like, oh, man, Embiid's so good. All the things you know but don't want to admit during the regular season because you want the Cavs to push forward. And to watch those guys yesterday, I was impressed down the stretch. Now, I don't know if I'm watching this United States team, and I've watched them play a couple times. And it's almost like the same script sometimes where they're like, oh, all right, well, we'll take the other team not so seriously. Oh, wait a minute. We're down what? And then you read a headline this morning I thought that was really interesting that we talked about on the pre-show meeting.
It's not a headline. It's a tweet. You're going to love it.
I saw it as a headline.
Okay. Anthony Davis, who, of course, is now with the Lakers and is on Team USA, and is one of those guys. I think Devin Booker might be another one who is kind of taking the team approach. Whatever you need, I'll do.
You know,
you need defense, great, whatever, I'm out there. He told our buddy Mark Spears after the game, you know, and Steph Curry was huge in this game. I mean, he came up with 36 points. That's tough to do in an Olympic game. Joel Embiid, who's one of my favorite players in the league, was very good in this game. Anthony Davis was asked by Mark Spears apparently about, you know, what he thought about the game. And Anthony Davis said, got two words, Stephen Curry, Joel Embiid.
What?
Got two words, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid.
That's two words?
Apparently in Anthony Davis's mind it was.
Wow.
Got two words, Andy. Stephen Curry, Joel Embiid.
There was...
There's no hyphen. It's not... You can't call it one word.
Well, two
Come
words.
Come on, AD.
Each name was...
Be better than that, AD.
Each name is two words.
You got young people looking at you. Got two words.
I thought they played great. Did you see any of the game, Dan? I know you're not into it.
Nope, haven't watched Dribble. Now, part of that problem, I'm not going to lie, is I currently don't really have power at the palatial estate.
Just so you know. So,
do you, do you care about this? Basketball in the United States is not the dominant force that it once was. Period.
Does that bother me?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
No. I like it. I guess when I was younger and, you know, there was a 72 game against the Soviets where it seemed like it was fixed at the end of the game.
Doug Collins.
Yeah.
Way to go, Doug.
I think then I cared more, but, you know, I think once the Cold War kind of passed there and you saw some of these, you saw European players coming over to the States to play and, you know, you're not going to, or guys from South America, you're like, you're not going to root for Zydrunas Ilgauskas. You're not going to root for Anderson Varejao. Of course I'm rooting for those guys.
Yeah, see, that's where I am too.
And so,
it's this.
Yeah.
I appreciate people who are able to play the sport well.
Yeah.
For instance, baseball. You know, do I care where Jose Ramirez is from?
Do I care
that the Nailers are Canadian? I don't care.
I don't even think about it.
Exactly right.
I don't. No.
And I think that's the same. You know, I want Team USA to win the gold medal. I do.
I care that I'm rooting for Steph Curry going, oh, you know, that mouthpiece thing's kind of cute. Right?
I don't even know you anymore.
He was at the free throw line, and I'm like, you know, the mouthpiece thing doesn't bother me anymore now that he's on my team. And I think he can help us win. Strange how those things work out, right?
It was a different world. When, like you talked about this, you know, the 72. And even before the Dream Team, it was a different kind of world. And even maybe shortly after that. But the international players, so many of them are so good and NBA caliber that they're going to give teams a game, and they've played together on a longer basis, so there's a little more, you know, cohesiveness with some of the foreign teams, and that's, you know, that's just terrific. It's a beautiful game, and the fact that it's now played at a higher level in many, many parts of the world, I think is a really good thing. And we're benefiting from that as NBA fans. We really are.
Right.
Some of the best players in the NBA are foreign-born guys.
I was reading a website out of the UK. I don't know if it was, and this headline's probably all over the place too. Bitter Serbia basketball captain Bogdan Bogdanovic makes bombshell claim that Team USA got help from referees in narrow Olympic semifinal win. Hey, Double B, I hate to tell you, your team choked in the end, and Team USA played great defense. They did not. Did you watch it? Did you see the game? God, man, nobody watched this game yesterday. Am I the only person in America that watched this and got excited? I'm the only person in this room that was watching it, that's for sure. I'm sitting here rooting on Team USA. I thought they played great defense, and they hit baskets. Like, the only bucket they missed at the end was LeBron throwing up an ill-advised three. And I was like, oh, LeBron, what are you doing? Why are you taking that shot early in the shot clock? Like, we just didn't need it. I know he was open, and maybe he's not used to being open. He's like, oh, I'm open. I'm going to take the shot. Hits the front of the rim, and the next thing you know, Serbia's got the ball, and they're bringing it back down the floor, and they're trying to make a play for it. The referees are not. You know, he said Bogdanovich said, I'm not the type of guy who will talk about referees, you know, and I even wanted to win against referees too, you know, and respect for us keeping it calm the whole game and not talking to them. These referees are going to go be out there too, so we can't talk to them. They couldn't talk to the refs. What did they? The refs aren't going to change. So you can talk to them all you want until you're blue in the face. What's the difference?
Well, see, they might not speak your language. It might not work.
There was one play where it looked like they called on Serbia that they went, that he went over and back, and on TV it looked like he went over and back. They called it, and he was, and I think they were trying to say that he didn't go over and back because he lost the dribble and it got tipped by, I can't remember who the American was that hit it and sent it back. I thought they should have replayed it just to settle it to make sure it was 100% right, but the refs didn't even want to hear anything about it. They're like, play on. And then it sets up a good final because now you've got the home team, France, going up against the United States. I don't know. I see this as must-see TV. I expect us to win gold when we go there, but I also think that the level of play internationally, obviously, it's been so elevated since that first time we watched the Dream Team go out there and play. I don't know. I enjoyed it. There's a lot of things. I I've said this about 1,000 times, but I love the Olympics this year. You know, the women are playing again right now. They're beating Australia? 73-51. They're crushing them right now. So that's kind of fun, too. I don't know. What else are you into? You watched some track, didn't you?
I'm watching track like crazy. I'm enjoying the track and field a lot.
The one thing I haven't watched.
Some really impressive performances. Cindy McLaughlin is a phenomenal hurdler. You know, the thing that does crack me up a little bit? It's like, because of the athletes involved, you know, like think of Edwin Moses back in the day.
Yeah.
Sydney McLaughlin now. We care about the 400-meter hurdles. It's really?
Right.
That's an odd race, isn't it?
Well,
isn't that an odd race?
Well, when I'm blown away on the 400 hurdles is that when you watch, maybe it was her that I was watching, that their times in the 400 hurdles would qualify them for the finals in this flat 400 where you don't have to jump over anything. To see some of these times. And then, you know, we were talking before about how exciting the 4x400 is. And, Dan, I thought you had a good take on the 4x400. Like, it's the end of every track meet if you've ever been to one. And if you're turned off by track and you're saying, why are these guys talking about track at the Olympics? I don't really care. I'm telling you, anyone who's ever been to a track meet and waited around all day and watched all the events and saw everything, when it comes time at the end and you're running in that 4x400, it is super exciting. It's great sports. It's just... I think it's what sports is all about. All right, let's come back. Leroy Butler. Oh, man, look out. Menigan is so excited. I'm excited, too, because the Browns play the Packers tomorrow. So we'll talk to him next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.